This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Well, hi, everybody, and welcome to what for me is the first podcast of a new season. The Tottenham Way is back. I'm Marcus Buckland. I'm delighted that George Sessions, our big summer signing, is live from the airport in Italy off the back of the Super Cup disappointment. And I say disappointment, I am conflicted. Don't really know how to feel about last night. Obviously, for 85 minutes, it was fantasy world. In the back of my mind, I kind of sensed, I know what's coming, and it did. And then when we went 2-0 in the penalties, you're thinking, yeah, exactly as in the game, we are going to blow this. And we did. But George, from your perspective, and I said afterwards on social media, we've got to take the positives from this, et cetera, and we have. But I went to bed surprisingly deflated. How did you feel about the whole thing?
I think it is a missed opportunity because they got so close to actually winning another competition, another cup. And I guess also the fact that when are Spurs going to be back in a Super Cup? Are we going to win the Champions League as much as Daniel Levy wants to anytime soon? I'm not so sure. Are we going to drop down to the Europa League anytime soon? I don't know. So 2-0 up, 5 minutes to go, and 2-0 up in the spot, in the penalties. That's the other killer. I was kind of thinking when Bentancur scored, here we go. I think it was a bit of a real feeling of deflation at full time. Especially seeing the players going up and get the runner-up medals, they looked gutted. But hopefully, it kind of can be used as fuel, and there is a lot of positives to take from that performance, even if PSG are meant to be undercooked because they've just returned to pre-season training a week ago. I think no one expected Spurs to go toe to toe and arguably to play better than PSG actually for long periods. And Luis Enrique said the same afterwards. So, I think the overriding feeling should be that was a brilliant first performance under Thomas Frank, and there's a lot of positives to take, but you just are left with that nagging, we should be celebrating another trophy today. We really should.
Yeah, well, my feelings now, George, it's a very silly, meaningless pre-season friendly. Had we won it, of course, it would be one of the major European trophies, but we've just got to paint our own narrative. Let's look at some of the positives, though, and in particular, a new formation after Ange's, he did it his way. Thomas Frank does it lots of different ways. The five at the back, do you like the look of that? Is it here to stay?
I was glad he did that because that is Thomas Frank. In the big games against the best teams, he puts in three centre-backs, he plays wing-backs, and I was glad he stamped his authority on the team on day one. I think it would have been safe if he'd played 4-2-3-1 and just tried to kind of make small tweaks, but he went for it. And in fairness to him, Spurs should have won that game because of that formation. I'm sure we'll get onto the subs further down the line. That was kind of when it started to go away from Spurs. So that's something clearly to talk about. But I think a big tick next to Thomas Frank's name for putting that formation in and it paying off. And also the set pieces were fantastic, weren't they? And Spurs were a threat every single time from set pieces and could have scored more from set pieces. So I think a lot of big ticks against Thomas Frank's name when it comes to those two in particular.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at the 11 and I'd give a big tick for the performance of every single player. I thought Spence was magnificent. We know what we're going to get from Romero and Van de Ven. I'm so glad that Danso, I think, is going to be a big part of the season. Porro, I thought, looked really good going forward. Saar, I don't think I can remember him having a better game, frankly. Bendicker and Paulinho, yes. Kudos, what a great signing he is. Richarlison, possibly his best performance as well. Held the ball up so well. He was magnificent. You mentioned substitutions, and of course, you've got to make them. And PSG were coming on strong. They had fresh legs. So you're not going to blame Frank. No one's going to blame Frank, I think, for making changes. But those changes did correspond with a transformation in the game. So how do we weigh up what the manager did in terms of his on-game changes?
Yeah, can I just throw it back to you for a second? When he puts in Archie Gray over Lucas Bergvall and Matthias Tell over Brennan Johnson when Spurs are 2-0 up, do you think he's got half an eye on Burnley there? And because I'm assuming that Bergvall and Johnson start that game.
Yeah, well, possibly. I mean, it's a really good question, and I hope not, because you know, let's just concentrate on a Super Cup. Don't make changes because of what's going to happen at the weekend against Burnley. And you've answered my question in many ways. I was so surprised that Johnson didn't come on. I was really surprised that Odegaard didn't come on. I was surprised that I love Archie Gray, and I want to see him establish himself in the midfield if he possibly can. But in the circumstances, I was surprised that it was him. I was very surprised that it was Tell. And I was equally surprised that Bergvall did not come on. So if I was going to make a criticism, it's not the changes, the fact that he made changes, he had to, but it was the personnel that he used. And also, bear in mind how well Richarlison was playing, and they'll know better than us whether he had anything left in the tank. And the fact that Solanke is not fully fit, of course, he's barely played in pre-season, that struck me as being a bit strange too.
Yeah, I think in fairness with Richarlison for Solanke, I think it would have just been, you know, Richarlison had emptied the tank, and we know how fragile he can be. So I had no issue with that one. But yeah, I found it strange. I really like Archie Gray, but Lucas Bergvall is a better centre midfielder at the minute. So he should have come on for Pallini. And I think Spurs' level wouldn't have dropped so much. And the same for Tell, you know, and I feel really sorry for Tell. We've seen this morning Spurs put out a statement about, you know, calling out the racist abuse that he's suffered over the last 12 hours, which is, you know, so unacceptable and really sad to see. But I think I'm not sure Tell should have come on really in that game. I think it should have been Johnson. And also when you kind of look at how it, you know, when we go through the goals that Spurs conceded, actually, you know, that equaliser, the issue is, should Tell be across to help out Jed Spence, or should Bentancur be across to help out Jed Spence in that situation? Spurs just kind of got over, you know, they got outnumbered on the right with Hakimi and Osman Dembele. So, yeah, I think Frank did a lot of things right last night. I think he got the subs. He could have done better with the subs. I think it was fair to say that. And it's, if he did have half an eye on Burnley, it's a very, very quick lesson that in at the elite level, in the biggest games, you cannot take it off the ball like that.
No, definitely. With regards to Tell, yeah, it's so mind-numbingly depressing that, you know, the club's having to put out a statement with this racism thing. It just doesn't go away. But, you know, if anyone's done that, you should be so ashamed of yourselves. His technique with the penalty, same with Vitinha, I just do not understand how a professional footballer can, well, how can miss a target. But listen, he was brave enough to take the penalty, and we shouldn't forget that Van de Ven also missed one, and it's not a disgrace. These things happen. I'm just slightly worried, George, because I spoke to a good Brentford friend of mine last night, and you know, she's obviously loves Frank to bits, but she says get used to the sort of substitutions he made to go. It's a case then of clinging on, trying to hold on. And obviously that didn't work last night. I hope, maybe that's something you guys can ask Thomas, you know, what's his philosophy when it comes to making substitutions, because it sounds as though that sort of thing has happened at Brentford on a fair few occasions in the past.
I'll throw him that one tomorrow morning, 9 a.m, see how he handles it. Yeah, no, I think I just to kind of mention the penalties, you know, It was wonderful to see the fans singing Van de Ven's name after he missed the penalty. I obviously, you know, in case listeners don't know, I was not old enough for 1984. I wasn't even born, but I've read so much about Danny Thomas missing and the Spurs fans singing his name, and it really reminded me of that. They didn't sing Matty Tell's name. I don't think Matty Tell really has a song after he missed. But I would just say I think it is a really important time to rally around him. He's a 20-year-old kid, just joined Spurs. You know, he's not had the best start to Spurs, but I've always loved his mindset and his mentality. You know, it always sticks out to me that Fulham away, a couple of months back in March, Spurs lost 2-0, but they just won against AZ Alkmaar a couple of days earlier. And he went into the away end and was telling the away fans, we need to stick together. You know, we can do something. And he was a 19-year-old guy that had been in the club 2 months then, and he was putting himself, you know, in front of an emotional set of fans and telling them we need to stay together. And I really think he's going to be a great player for Spurs. It's just going to take him time. But I hope this is just going to be a hard, tough moment for him. Not the racism, obviously, aspect. That's unacceptable. But missing the penalty that he's going to come back from. And, you know, the way football works, Thomas Frank could play him on Saturday against Burnley and he could score, and it's kind of, that is how sport can go sometimes. So hopefully this is just a knock in the road for him. But yeah, I remember similar scenarios at Brentford where they'd be clinging on and they wouldn't always hold on. And yeah, maybe that's just something that Frank's gonna have to learn at a bigger club, at a club that doesn't want to be clinging on, and wants to be going. For scoring one more, that's always been the Spurs way to, if you're winning 2-1, you try and win 3-1, and might concede doing it, but it's always been the Tottenham way. So I'm sure he'll quickly learn that.
Yeah, well, hopefully that's just a little blip, a little bump in the road early on. I agree with you with regards to Tell. Obviously, there have been enough people inside the club who've seen what he can do, what he brings, and he is very, very young. He did have a shocker last night. The moment he came on, he conceded a very clumsy free kick just outside our own penalty area. You've mentioned that maybe he was a little defensively deficient with one of the goals. Missed a penalty. Okay, dust yourself down. Start showing us. Well, I agree with you, by the way. I've seen glimpses last season. I think he's got the potential to be fantastic, but obviously he's gonna have to go and prove that now. What about Romero, made captain? Do we think that he's now definitely going to stay? And do you think that's a good decision as well? Bearing in mind he can occasionally go just a little, how should we describe it? A little crazy. Okay, I can think of no better word. But obviously, as they were saying on the box last night, you've got to have your captain playing week in, week out. And I appreciate that the number of yellow cards and red cards, etc., has dwindled decisively in the past year or two. But do you think that is a good move from Frank?
I'm really pleased that Thomas Frank has made him captain. I said on the last pod that I wondered if Spurs and Thomas Frank in particular might kind of take into account the kind of politics we've seen with Romero calling out the board, saying Tottenham should spend more money. Obviously, his pointed reference when Frank was appointed about Ange and, obstacles in the way. I was concerned Spurs would go down the kind of Ben Davies route and maybe Vicario and Romero as co-captains just to kind of keep the peace. But no, Christian Romero is the best player at the club. On his days, best defender in the world. He did drag Spurs to that Europa League trophy, and he is absolutely the leader of this squad, so he should be the captain. He's got 2 years left. He's been linked with Atletico Madrid, I should say. But you'd like to think Spurs are in the Champions League. He's very settled in London. There clearly is a lot of affection he has for the club, but I don't think that's just an act or, him trying to, sort of put up kind of a bit of a front. I think he genuinely does have a real affinity to the club, and especially after winning in Bilbao. So I think it's absolutely the right decision. And I'm pleased that Thomas Frank has made that decision. And I'm sure fans would have accused him of being a yes man if he hadn't done that, but he's made his own call with that. So I'm pleased. I guess just sticking with Romero, he was brilliant last night. But when I watched back that equaliser this morning, I think he probably is the biggest one at fault, actually, when I look back. He tries to step up and play Dembele offside, and he's very, very close to doing that. But then after that, he just switches off for half a second, and Gonzalo Ramirez, Ramos, sorry, gets in behind him and heads home. And it really is Romero that should be not switching off there and clearing that header. And I do remember him having cramp a couple of minutes before, and he had emptied the tank clearly for 96 minutes. But it was just a kind of a shame that his performance ended on that note. But I saw lots of encouraging signs from him. When Van de Ven missed the penalty, when Tell missed the penalty, he stepped forward straight away, was kind of gesturing to them to lift themselves up, and he was gesturing to Vicario as well. Fans wouldn't have seen it on the TV, but him and Bentancur were kind of did that twice in those moments. And there's no doubt the squad hugely respect him. So he is the right captain. It's the right call. You've just got to keep him fit. And Frank, I'm sure, will put him in, take him out, put him in, take him out. But I think obviously last season was a really bad season injury-wise for him. But he did have the Copa America, and then he was rushed back in probably a bit too quick. So I'd like to think this summer's pre-season has sort of built up a kind of robustness in his body to make him last to play 40 to 50 to 60 games a season for Spurs, because they need that from him, because he's the captain, he's their best player.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely, and I did fear that he'd go in the summer, and he's so important. We spoke so many times last season about the lack of leadership within the side as well, and he's clearly got that. So yeah, it's a very encouraging sign. Before I ask you about Bissouma, which is not so encouraging, and we look ahead to Burnley, clearly, if you looked at the two benches last night, and it's no great surprise, PSG are super rich. They're the champions. Well, we're the champions of Europe. They're the other champions of Europe, but they had a lot of options on the bench. I think we all know that we've got to increase the squad before the end of the month. And I think by now we all know that the two names on everybody's lips are Savinho and Eze. Whether they'd have made a difference last night, who knows? But in your opinion, will one or both be at the club by the end of the month?
Definitely one of them needs to be. Probably two of them need to be, I would say. I think when you look at last night and you take off Kudos and Palhinha, and their level was so high, and then you put on Tell and Gray, or even if you put on Bergwijn and Johnson, it's still a drop there. So, and Spurs are going into the Champions League this season. It's not the Europa League. It's a step up. So they need more, in my opinion, ready-made, you know, Premier League proven players. Savinho is an interesting one. I think clearly Man City will let him go for the right price, because otherwise this talk wouldn't happen. And Man City have signed other players this summer. They're being linked with other attacking players. So I think there is a deal there to be done if Spurs want to. City, I think, will want a big chunk of money. I'm personally not sure if you spend 60 million on Savinho, as talented as he is, I'm not sure if that's a wise move from the club, especially when you've already got young wingers in Tell and Odegaard and Michael Morzo on loan, who I think will probably be better than both of them potentially in a couple of years. I'm not as big on Savinho right now. With Eberechiese, I do think chips have fallen in place that are good for Spurs. The first one being it, Mark Gahey was seemingly going to Liverpool a couple of days ago. That's now gone very cold. Sounds like Liverpool's initial offer is not enough. Palace want more than the 35 million that's being reported. They want closer to 50 million. I really rate Mark Gabe. I'm not sure Liverpool will spend 50 million on him. So if he doesn't go and he's only got a year left, Palace need to sell someone this summer. They need money to come in. They've just lost Europa League. They're now in the Conference League. That's another chip that's fallen in Tottenham's favour. Eze is there waiting to be signed. Arsenal are clearly interested in him, but it seems like they need to sell before they can buy. So I think this is the week. If you're Tottenham, you have to get that deal done. His release clause is around 68 million. Is going to expire on Friday, we're told. I'm not sure how much of a big deal that is, because I don't know if Spurs are going to really go in and pay. There's a big chunk of money that needs to go up front, so I'm not sure that's going to necessarily happen. But I think Palace do need to sell a big player this summer, and it seems like it's going to be Eze. So I think there's a deal there to be done for Spurs. It's going to take a lot of money. It's probably going to take more. Maybe it's going to be an overall package more than Solanke's 65 million. But as I say, I think chips are kind of falling in place, which are good for Spurs. And Eberechiese is going to join Spurs if the opportunity is there, because they're a big London club. They're in the Champions League. He knows some of the, you know, decent chunk of players there, and it's an exciting move for him at 27 years old. Maybe the last time he'll get this move. So I think there is a deal there to be done to Spurs. And I would, if I was to put my neck on the line, I think they would, they should be able to get that deal done. I think, I really think they should be able to. I don't think before Burnley, to be honest, but they really should try and get that done over the next week. It's there to be done.
Well, let's hope so. I know that Daniel Levy's in America at the moment because his daughter's just started at university, so he's got other things to deal with. But please, please, Daniel, you know, you've made those by now very famous comments about what you want to see the club win. You have got to do. Strengthening the squad in Eze. I tend to agree with what you're saying with regards to Savinho, but being greedy, the more the merrier. If we can afford him, let's get him. But yeah, there are plenty of other options there. But let's be ambitious. Please let us be ambitious. Otherwise, what is the point? You've got the nucleus now of a really, really good team, a fine squad, an innovative manager. Back him. Let's not waste another great opportunity. One player who may be on his way out, however, is Yves Bissouma. Now, persistent lateness was the official reason for him being left out of the Super Cup. What is going on with that guy? George, he does my head in. You know, he was up and down last season. We know how good he can be. You're a professional footballer. If you're turning up late all the time, well, Thomas Frank, by the way, did exactly the right thing. You've got to crack down on that. But what is going on, and what do Spurs do with him?
It is Groundhog Day, because it is three summers in a row that Yves Bissouma has done this. Ange's first summer, Ange famously had a big chat with him, told him, I want you to be a leader. Following day, he's late for training because his car's broken down. Okay, that can happen. The next summer, so last summer, 2024, there's the laughing gas incident, and this summer, repeatedly late. And Thomas Frank, as you say, Marcus, has made the right call. You know, you can't. Again, he's stamping his authority, you know, flexing his muscles, and as he should, being the new manager, he's not going to stand for that that type of tardiness. So, Yves Bissouma's got a year left, so Spurs will want to sell him this summer anyway. They're going to get a fee. I don't know what's going to happen with him. I feel like a club should have moved for him by now if they really wanted him. Maybe there's a world where Spurs do sign Eze, and actually Bissouma, not in a swap deal, but Bissouma goes to Palace for a 15, 20 million deal, because he'd probably do well at Palace. But yeah, he needs to go this summer. His time at Spurs has been up and down, and he's very thankful for his performances towards the end of the Europa League. But his time, I think, at Spurs is up, and he should leave over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's a shame, because he can bring so much to a team, but you know, that's a lot of wasted talent there, I have to say. Burnley, okay, season opener, George. We've got to brush aside the disappointment of last night. I really hope that there isn't a lingering feeling of misery because of what happened against PSG. On paper, it's a pretty welcoming start. I mean, that said, we know what Burnley are going to try and do. We know how defensively resilient, how defensively brilliant, in fact, they were last season. So obviously, it's a game Spurs need to win. I expect them to win it. Might not be pretty. What are your thoughts in terms of changes from last night's starting 11 based on players being tired and also the different opposition on Saturday?
Yeah, I was boldly predicting that Spurs would win 1-0 against PSG and then draw 0-0 against Burnley, because that's very Spurs, isn't it? But I got the first part wrong. But no, we shouldn't. I don't think it should be too flat on Saturday. There should be a lot of pride, actually, that we've just gone toe-to-toe with PSG. And yes, we missed out on a trophy, but there's a lot to take from that. It's an interesting one, because it's going to be the kind of the first real chance we see of how Thomas Frank approaches this Wednesday to Saturday grind, which he's going to get in October, in November, in December, when the Champions League picks up. Is he going to make minimal tweaks? Is it going to be the same starting team with one or two changes? I think he might go the other way. I think they could be four or five. As I kind of touched upon, I think Lucas Bergvall will start. I think Brennan Johnson will start. Maybe Wilson Odegaard as well. Dominic Solanke, I think, should definitely start. Big question is probably what does he do in defence? I personally don't think I'd want to see Mickey van der Ven playing any minutes on Saturday. Just wrap him up in cotton wool after that big shift. Maybe Romero needs to play, being the captain, but then he was cramping up towards the end. But yeah, I think he probably makes four or five changes. And, you know, let's be totally honest, Spurs should win this game. This is a newly promoted team. They were the clean sheet kings last season, but they have lost James Trafford, so they've lost a big figurehead of that that base. I think it's very unfortunate James Maddison's not there, because he would have been perfect in this game to break a team down, balls through the lines. But Spurs should have enough. If I was to put my neck on the line, I'd probably say it'll be a set-piece goal to win it. Maybe 1-0. I'm not sure it's going to be the most thrilling game, because Burnley are... Scott Parker kind of sets them up in that way to kind of really, you know, spoil the party. And that's probably going to be the way they're going to have any chance of staying up this season. But I don't think they're going to be good enough to stay up. And we should be starting the season with 3 points at home. And yeah, hopefully it can be a win. Of, you know, we'll take any win at the minute after the way the Premier League went last season. So hopefully it's a win for Thomas Frank to start with. And then, then we can kind of get, the era is underway. He's got his first one. We can get on a roll after that, fingers crossed. What do you reckon team-wise? Do you think he'll go strong or make a few changes?
I think the temptation, obviously, is to make a few changes, but I think it's really important, particularly we've got Manchester City away, second game of the season, that they got off to a winning start here, can try and banish any lingering disappointment from Wednesday night. I agree with you about Van de Ven, though. I would wrap him up in cotton wool. I think Romero does need to start, unless physically he simply can't, because as we've been saying, he is the leader. I want him out there, first game of the season, inspiring everybody. But there are other options. Yeah, definitely start Bergvall. I think start Johnson. I really want to see Odegaard. I mean, he's up against, you know, a team he knows extremely well. And I think we were mentioning Tell. I think Odegaard, they're two players I'm fascinated to watch this season, George, and see if they can really fulfill all the potential that both have. So actually, maybe a start for him as well. And also, yeah, I hope the atmosphere, I think it will be great. You know, it's a new season. And let's just reiterate that, to be honest with you, ahead of last night's game, I was sort of quite interested in it, but I did fear that we'd lose 3 or 4 nil, particularly after what happened at Bayern Munich. And it's got to be a positive now that we are so disappointed. We led 2-0, we were playing brilliantly, and we've ended up losing to PSG in a penalty shootout. So it really is not the end of the world. So I hope everyone gets behind the team. You know, we see the new signings again, Kudos and Polina continue to show what they can provide. I'm excited, mate. I'm really excited. I tend to be at the start of every season, but I think there's genuine cause for that. And it's why, just to end again, I really hope that Daniel Levy and the board go and do the right business between now and the end of August, because this is a chance. I do feel, okay, we're on four fronts here. I feel this is a squad now that can do something if it's bolstered at this stage, and it's just a case of whether they do it.
Yeah, I completely agree. Put one or two in there, especially Eze, and you know, can we win the FA Cup? Can we win the Carabao Cup? Not going to win the Premier League or the Champions League. I know that, but we can definitely go for a cup. So yeah, let's be positive. Tommy Frank's gonna get a win on Saturday, and we're up and away.
Absolutely. Well, listen, George, great for me to talk to you for the first time. Delighted that you are part of the Tottenham way. The two Toms will be back, Tom Barkley and Tom Allnut. And don't forget, in your presser tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, one of those questions to Tommy Frank, his substitution policy, and he's not going to let this sort of thing slip away again, is he? Promise me you ask that question.
I will. Don't worry, I will.
Brilliant. All right. Well, that's George live in Udinese, flying back after the game. Hey, guys, come on. It's a new season. There's every reason to believe. I'm Marcus Buckland. Come on, you Spurs.